Okay. Anyway, I wanted to talk about a very interesting topic. Sounds good. Okay. Not a very exciting topic. I mean, not controversial. There's a pasuk. I'm sorry. Sorry. We save the controversial topics when we get when the year gets more boring. Okay. There's a pasuk in the parasha Bereishis, and Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Hey. V'chol siach hasade terem yeh ba'aretz. So Esav hasade terem yismach. Kilo himter Hashem Elokim ha'aretz v'adam ayin avodes adama. So it says, Rashi says, that means that nothing grew yet, the grass didn't grow. It says already the grass was created on Yom Shlishi. So Rashi says it means the grass grew up from the ground, and it got to the top of the ground, but it didn't come out. It stayed right on the surface so that you couldn't see it, like a drop under the ground, until Yom Shishi. Right? Now, Hashem created grass and trees and everything on Yom Shlishi. So they all were growing, but it was all underground. There was an underground forest. But if you would look at the earth, you wouldn't see anything. It's all covered. Why is that? So the pasuk says, because the Adam Ayin Avodas Adama. So Rashi learns that to mean that there's no one to appreciate it. And Kushava Adam, when it comes, then he comes his battle, the yard of Kushamim, and then it grew. So Rav Chatzkel Levinson says on this Rashi an amazing insight. He says, Hashem created trees, grass, everything. He wants it to grow. It's growing. The pastures, the laws of nature is it should keep on going. But there's a stop. It's almost like a supernatural stop. It stopped at the surface. Why? Because there's no person. Now, even when there was a person, it didn't come. At first, the person had a daven. So Rav Chatzkel says, from here you see a yesod, pretty radical yesod, that even if you're supposed to get something, according to the laws of nature, something's supposed to happen. If a person doesn't daven, he doesn't get it. Right? In other words, everyone, there's always a famous kasha. Why do we have to daven? If it's Hashem's a Baal Chesed, if it's good for us, Hashem the Baal Chesed is going to give it to us. If it's not good for us, so well, I don't want to daven for it. So there are many answers. But according to Rav Chatzkel, based on this Rashi, it is a very simple answer. Avada is good for you, but there's a law of nature. If you don't ask, you don't get. Right? That's what Rav Chatzkel says. It could be it's good for you. It could be Hashem already decreed on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to get it. It's in the books. It says on the books, Chaim is supposed to get $1 million. He never asked for it. Okay. I'm ready to give it to him. It's like a person's ready to give staka. He made up his mind. He made his pledge. He wrote the check out, but it's in his drawer. If the organization never asked him for the money, he's not gonna. He doesn't. I have to give you. I have to run after you and send you the money. You have to come. Well, I don't know who exactly. Rabbi Bernstein. Someone has to come, knock on the door, and say, "Can we have your yearly donation, please?" But if you're not gonna come ask me for my donation, I put it in my budget. I budgeted it. I was planning on doing it. I made up my mind I'm going to do it. But you have to ask. That's what Rav Chatzkel says. He says it's a beferish Rashi in the Chumash. So according to him, it's a scary thing. If you don't ask, you don't get. I say Rav Chatzkel Asakasha. We see people that get things and they didn't ask. Right? You see people that, you know, non-religious people get things they don't ask. You know, even religious people get, you know. So Rav Chatzkel says, then it's not coming on what they're supposed to be getting. It comes from a special cheshbon. Special cheshbon, you don't want to get special cheshbonis. Special cheshbonis means it comes off your scar from Adam Haba. It comes, you know, there's a, you know, okay, you know, Hashem has to go against the rules. You know, really, this guy should starve to death. He's not asking, he's not supposed to get. Okay, Hashem Beshel, okay, we'll give him. But then there's a price. If you're giving him, according to Rebbe of Chassid, if you're going giving to him against the rules, if you follow the rules of the world, Hashem makes certain decrees, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and you ask for it and you get it, fine. So then it don't cost you anything. That's the law of nature. But if Hashem has to make it, just like Chazal say, if Hashem, as a Gemara, that you're not supposed to go in a dangerous place because maybe you know because you're going to rely on a miracle. Because even if a miracle happens, it removes reduces your schar. The fact that Hashem had to make a miracle for you, so there's a price you have to pay for a miracle. So that's what he says too here. That's why Yaakov, who said Katonti Mikoach Hasadim? That was Yaakov, right? Now when you get miracles, there's a price. So he says this is a miracle. If you don't daven, according to the laws of nature, Rashi and Chumash says, and right away in Bereishis, there's a blockage. The grass will not break the ground if you don't daven. Sometimes it does. Okay, it's a miracle. It's a miracle because Hashem went against the laws of nature, but then you have to pay the price. So that's, according to Rav Chatzkel, a very, very simple answer. Why do I have to daven? There's another very simple answer. But, you know, just for the record, don't worry saying the answers, because what's the other simple answer? Very simple answer is that when you daven, you can get even more than you deserve. Which means like this, even something which theoretically, before you daven, wasn't good for you, but when you daven, it's going to become good for you. Meaning like this. Let's say a person goes ahead and did, example, X. Person did a certain Aveira. He deserves a punishment to get sick. To, you know, if I care, it's good to get your punishment in this world to save yourself in Olam Haba. So what happens if he gets sick? You daven, Hashem give you a refuah. Okay? Then that works. You got your punishment, and you daven, you got better. She says, why do you have to wait till you got sick to daven? If you daven before you got sick, Hashem, don't let me get sick. So in Lomdis, it's as if you got sick, you got your forgiveness, and then you didn't get, and then you got cured. Right? You got that. In other words, I daven, Hashem, keep me healthy. So it's, now if I wouldn't have daven, I would have gotten sick because that was a punishment for my aveiros. Okay? So now, it's ki'ilu, I got sick and I got cured. Except I got cured before I got sick. Why? But you created the reason why you didn't get the pain is not because it wasn't nigzar on you to get the pain, it's because you succeeded in creating a counter force. Okay, so the kapara comes with the gzera. The kapara comes. The fact that it was nigzar on you to get sick is mechaper on you. The fact that you actually never got sick, that's irrelevant. Just like if you got sick and then you were mispada and you got cured, so you get the kapara. So if there was like a gzera, you should get sick. And okay, now you fixed it. So that already gives you the kapara.
And that gives you more than what you asked for?
It's giving it. No, it's not giving you more than what you asked for. I didn't say get more than you asked for. I'm saying it gives you more than what you would have deserved. Because had you not daven, the question everyone asks is, well, Hashem is about chesed, it'll give me what I deserve without davening. But now it comes out that with davening, you're getting more than you deserve. That's just an example. Okay. No. Okay, so that's a good question. There are some people that have this attitude that I don't want to daven, you know, for... There's a big machlekes. Well, we'll start like this. There's a big machlekes among, I don't know who. It might be in this forum, but it's definitely among people. I'm going to play basketball today. I want to win. Should I daven that I should win? So now I would say, what? That's what you waste your davening on. You know? Daven for the big things. So I bought a sefer. It called me Konstantin Shoh Evan Melech, one of my favorites for him. Everyone should read it. So it says here,
what's it called?
Pinkasov Shoh Evan HaMelech. It's about Rav Hominer. It says here that before he would light a match, he would daven. Get the match alight, because you know sometimes you strike a match and it doesn't light. Or before he filled his pen, he would daven. I once went to a farm store in Israel, and the owner, I don't know why, I don't remember, maybe I was buying one of Homer's farm, but the owner of this farm store told me, "You see that mailbox in front of the store? Rav Homeda used to stand in front of that mailbox and he would daven before he mailed his letters. Because sometimes letters get lost in the mail, you know. And sometimes the letter, when the guy received the letter, he's not in the right mood. You know, you want the letter, you know, when you speak to a person in person, you can gauge his mood in a letter. So before he mailed any letters, he always stood chuckling in front of that mailbox. Anyway, Rav Homeda, it says here clearly, that Rav Homer held, it's brought down also, he says it befarish in theory in his Sefer, that you should daven for everything. If you're playing basketball, you want to win. So that's part of how do you help yourself win? That you realize part of winning is davening. Hashem's in control if you're going to win. You want to win. You're working hard to win. So why not daven? What's the kasha? Well, you're wasting your davening because you should do daven for better things. So daven for better things too.
Doesn't make it cheap.
Right? In other words, he's saying that he's basking, and this is not what I believe we basking, that every time you daven, you get a mitzvah. And every time you daven, it works. Because there's a mitzvah to daven. When you daven, doesn't have to daven during the tefillah. Anytime you speak to Hashem, you say, Hashem, help me. So you're, that's a davening. Yes, help me, help. Right. So you're and whenever you speak, ask Hashem for something, you're davening. It's a mitzvah to daven to Hashem. It might not be a mitzvah. There's mitzvahs that's called chiyuvis and mitzvahs kiyumis. There's not a chiyuv all day to say Hashem help me. There's no chiyuv to daven Hashem help me win the basketball game. But when you do daven, it's you are acting out. You're fulfilling. You're demonstrating that you believe in Hashem. You're demonstrating emunah. You're demonstrating that I believe that everything Hashem runs the world, not just the major things. It's not just big events. There's a certain attitude that people have, maybe we don't consciously, but emotionally. Big events, okay, Hashem's in control. You know, whether you're going to live and die, okay, Hashem decides that. But whether I'm going to win the basketball game, come on, that's so trivial. Who cares, you know? But we don't believe that. Bitalkin says that Hashkocha process is on every little thing, right? The most trivial thing. If you walk down the street and you got hit by a raindrop, that was Hashkocha process. Hashem decide you should get hit by a raindrop. It's slightly uncomfortable. I had to brush it off my cheek. Oh, you know, that was Hashgacha Pratis, right? The Gemara says that. That the Gemara says, what's Yisurim? What did Gemara say?
Taking a nickel instead of a dime.
Yeah, if you had to stick your hand in your pocket and you took out the wrong coin, you have to stick it in a second time. So little things are Hashgacha Pratis. So if everything is Hashgacha Pratis, so why should then there's a mitzvah to daven? You're supposed to, just like you do your hishtadris. If you're ready to work to win the basketball game, and you realize that Hashem is in control, it's hashgacha pratis, so that's also a proper form of hishtadris. Before you take the game, ask Hashem to help me win. Now, is it important? Of course it's not important. But it's a little bit important. Haraya, you're working hard. So if it's working, if you're spending time on it, that was important to you, so you want it to happen, so why not ask Hashem? Plus, you get a mitzvah. The upshot is, someone said this, I heard this from a very big gadol. He says, we have a chisarin that we think that Hashem has, you know, there's a limit. You know, the limit how much we can bother Hashem, a limit how much Hashem can give. So that's also why people are jealous. And he felt that there's a mitzvah also to daven for other people. Every first time you daven for another person, you get a mitzvah of chesed, which is a pretty amazing thing if you think about it, because most of our davening is in Lashon Rabbim, which means that you're davening for all Klal, a few million people. So theoretically, assuming you're davening right, you're doing a chesed to a nice few million people every time we daven. But the problem is that we don't really want Hashem to give it to a few million people, because, you know, if he's going to give all the millions of people the bracha, there will be nothing left for me. I want the bracha. But that's because we think that Hashem is, you know, is short. And if you start asking Hashem for too much, he'll run out of money. So if I ask Baruch Aleinu, Hashem's going to give bracha to everyone, you know, I'm not going to get my share. So Hashem, just give all the money to me, leave everyone, you know. But it's not true. Hashem isn't short. He doesn't have a financial problem. It's not any more difficult for him. It's not difficult. Okay, but it's to give everybody or you alone. It's not like any reason that he's not going to give you because he gave to somebody else. So therefore, what he says, but getting back to our thing, what he says, I know Rabbi Cohen was here, he spoke about this, he said this too. He said, I never heard the Rashiva discuss it, so I can't tell you what the Rashiva held. But Rabbi Cohen said it, Rav Hominer says it, he quotes he quotes in the Mitzvah of Bitachin, I think he quoted a Rabbag who says this, that there's an inyan to daven for every little thing, and even is a bedavka for little things, because it's a way of increasing your bitachin that Hashem's in control of little things, because many people don't really believe Hashem's in control of little things. Okay, anyway, so we believe you're supposed to daven for everything.
Is it dafka something which will help you travel?
No, that's the point. It's something, but you are machshavim. Excuse me. Do you spend time, comes Purim, right? Do you spend time trying to get a good costume? Yeah, so if it's important enough to you to invest time and energy, so why shouldn't you spend 2 minutes investing, asking Hashem to help you? Now, obviously, I'm not saying you should daven more for that than for, you know, for other things. You have to have your priorities, of course. But you can daven for everything. There's no shortage. No one said that you only can daven for certain things. So you can daven for everything, and you're not going to get less. You get more. Because every time you daven, you get a mitzvah. So anytime you want something, you might as well daven. Now, obviously, if you daven an hour to get a good parim paskim, and you daven 1 minute to succeed in shir, that's a chisaret, right? Obviously, you should daven with more kavana and be more longer davening and say it more times, something which is important. You should have your priorities. Same thing as you should work. You should spend more time trying to succeed in shir than looking for a Purim costume, right? But once you have your priorities straight, you invest proportionally a certain, I spend 5 hours a day learning and then a half hour a day playing basketball. So proportionally, you should do the same thing with davening, so to speak, you know.
Just because something's important to you doesn't mean it's good for you. Like winning
the game. Okay, so you can daven, you're allowed to add. Many people say you can add in the davening if it's good for me. But it's good for you because it's very often it's good for you because it makes you happy. And that's something good for you. You want to be happy. You can daven for the thing. Anything. Now, there is such a thing that people do say, things that you don't know is good for you. For example, okay, we're getting off the topic. But if you're going out with a shidduch, so they do not recommend that you daven, Hashem, let this girl love me and marry me, because it's very possible that she's not the right girl for you, right? It's very possible that it'll be a hard, that if you marry her, it'll be a terrible marriage, or maybe she's chas v'shalom predestined to die or to get sick in a year from now. So you why would you want to lock yourself into this person? So what you there, they would, because you yourself don't know it's good for you. So what there they say, what you do, you daven Hashem, let me marry the best person for me. Or let me marry this person if she's the right person. Right?
So when you're davening for everything else, say for like the mailing a letter, like maybe the best thing for you is for the letter
okay,
to get lost.
Okay, but Einochinami. So if there's a really a possibility that maybe, so then you should add, Hashem, do what's best for me with this letter. But most things, many, many things, we there isn't a possibility. You know, certain things that we assume it's better for you to be healthy. It's better for you to be healthy with, you know, you get kapra without being sick. So you don't, things that you don't know, things that you have a suffix, you're writing a letter to your boss and, you know, and he might get angry with you when he gets that letter. So you don't daven that you daven that Hashem knows what's best. That's true. That is, okay, let me make one.
Doesn't Hashem do everything for the best?
That was what we started out with. That Gasha, I preempt you. I beat you. So that's the Gasha. Why do I have to daven? Hashem does everything for the best. So we gave two answers. One is Rav Chatzko gave an answer that there's a rule in nature. Hashem put a rule in nature that even though I'm going to do everything for the best, but providing you ask. So if you don't ask, you don't get. Sorry, even if it's the best for you. That's Rav Chatzko's answer. And the second answer is that davening can give you something which previously was not for the best for you and now will become the best for you. Because previously, according to the Madrega that you were holding, it was good for you to have Yisurim. It was good for you for this, whatever. This wasn't, so it wasn't the best for you. But once you daven, you make that this is the bet, you change. So, okay, all right, that's two answers.
What's the difference between Shidduch and Refuah?
Refuah, if you're assuming, you know, since the quarantine Islam did said if you get the Refuah through the davening, it's like you were sick and then you get better, though. It's pashtus, it's you know, this, like, it's hard to hear that it's not good for you to be healthy. No, it didn't say you're going. You didn't daven Hashem make the bad shit good for you. You just said, Hashem, let me marry this girl. She's gorgeous. I want to marry her. Let her marry me. But she's a monster right now. So she'll, right? A murderer. You know, I don't know, whatever it is. You said, you want to marry her? Okay, I'll marry her. You know, but who says it's good for you? So you're asking for something that's not intrinsically good. Certain things are Svara are good for you. See, let me succeed in understanding and learning. Let me, you know, assume that's good for you. You know, I don't really have to worry. You say, well, maybe it's not good for me to succeed in learning. Okay, anyway, let me go further. So the Maisa, there's a good big in your daven. So it comes out like this. Why should we daven? First of all, there's a good chance that by daven you'll get more than you would have gotten if you wouldn't daven, according to what we just said. Right. Especially we quoted previously that we quoted from the Stipler, that the Stipler said that there's no tefillah with kavana that doesn't do something. Doesn't necessarily mean you get everything you ask for. Just sometimes Hashem gives you partial. But he says there's no tefillah that gets zero. So the Stipler gave this famous mashal, right? I think we said this last year. Or 2 years ago, I don't remember anymore when things happened. That the Stipler, they say a story that there was a person said he was walking with the Stipler at Rav Schneer Cutler's Levaya, and the person said to the Stipler, "Oy, so many people daven, because Schneer Cutler was Rashiv in Lakewood, everyone was davening, and it didn't help." And the Stipler got very angry with him, says, "Chas v'sham, of course it helped. Tfidah's help. Except it didn't help necessarily with the way they wanted it to help. In other words, they were asking for him to get better. Shem had plans. They didn't want to make him better. So, but he's going to give him either the equivalency 100%, 50%, 25%, which means that maybe if let's say a son was davening that Rav Shneur should not die. So maybe the Shneur died, but his mother will stay healthy. His sister will stay healthy. You know, he'll get a good shidduch. He'll get something which will compensate. Right? A person, a Talmud, was davening. He said he didn't want his rabbi to die, so he'll get a different rabbi, which is almost as good. Right? There's way Hashem doesn't have to give it. Hashem in general can give you things that you ask for, not necessarily the way you ask for it. There could be cheshbonos why what you're supposed to get is not going to come the way you want. You might get even the everything you asked for, but just in a different way. The best story, I'm running late, of course. Rabbi Brook told the best story. I tell this many, many times. People know my stories already. But he said the best story, that there's a, the Vardiks believed, one of the Vardik shittas, which we believe also, but it's you have to be in a Vardiker to really implement it, is that if you have total bitachin, you get whatever you have total bitachin for. Now, in order to get that you guaranteed get whatever you have bitachin for, you have to have really, really stark bitachin. Because, you know, it means that you can make a nes. The Varikas believe that if a person had total bitachin, he could live for a thousand years. They even ask the kasha, how come some people die? I weren't tzaddikim have bitachin. They give an answer to that. But they ask that as a kasha. That, you know, if you have total bitachin, you can perform miracles. If I have total bitachin, this chumash is going to fly, it would start flying. Right? So those are the Varikas. But you have to have really, really strong bitachin. If you don't want a miracle, that you don't need. Now, it's proportionate to what you want to accomplish. You need that proportional level of bitachin. If I just want the chumash just to move a little bit, not fly, then I need a little, don't need as stark bitachin. I need, you know, believe in that, right? Okay, anyway. But they believe that if you, whatever. So the Faradik was very big in our Bat Zisairim. Except in Europe, between World War I and World War II, there was tremendous famine. And there was no money. There was, if you read all the stories in Mamish, the guys in Yeshiva had no shoes. The guys in Yeshiva had no food. They were Mamish guys were actually fainting from lack of food. So it was a pretty bad matzav. So how can you go ahead and start Habatzah Torah and start Yeshivas if there's no money, right? Do I have time for a detour from this week's Parsha? Is that Rav Brook told me a story about himself that they sent him out Erev Pesach. They wanted him to go out. It was the older book, and it was just around the 1920s. They sent him out in the yeshiva, just the 1930s maybe, to start a yeshiva somewhere. But they had no money, so they gave him a piece of matzah, because it was Erev Pesach, so in case he's stuck, he can be yotzi the mitzvah of Seder. And that was it. Anyway, they send it to a certain city. Your mission, start a yeshiva. He comes, he speaks to the people, and there's a big tumult. They say, can convince some people, yes, we should have a yeshiva. And then some people say, no, but we can't afford it. Middle of the Depression, not shayach, how can we fund the yeshiva? And he says, a big tumult. So he realizes it's not going anywhere. So he says, he sent the telegram to Novartek, send the Bachrim. So the next few days later, basically 10 guys get off the train, they go into a shul, take down the sign, or they really take down the sign, put up a sign, Yeshiva Nefardik, and they're there. He says, the guys about them walk in from Mincha Ma'ariv, what are you people doing here? Excuse me, we're in the middle of learning, we don't battle. He says, you want, you speak to him, he's in charge. He comes to him, he says, what's going on? He says, made a yeshiva. He said, we can't have a yeshiva here. He says, it's a yeshiva. But we don't want a yeshiva. He says, you know, these guys haven't eaten anything for a whole day. You're going to let them starve? Hey, how do you shoot? So what I have to do with this week's parsha, because he said they called an asifa in the city against him. And then after the asifa, they let him speak. So he said something from this week's parsha. It says in this week's parsha that when Hashem said Nasa Adam, Hashem asked the Malachim if she could create Adam. Right. So this brings in the Medrash that there was a machlokes among the, right. You know that Rashi. Rashi says that Anivis Hashem. Hashem asked the Gadol is asked the Katan. But Rashi doesn't say what the Malachim say. But the Medrash says that there was a machlokes between the Malachim. The Malach of Chesed said yes. And the Malach of Emes said no. So the Malachim got into a big argument. So it says, while the Malachim were arguing, Hashem went snuck down and went ahead and created him. So he says, what's going on here? Shem asks their opinion. They're discussing it, and then he goes, creates it. So he says, Hashem realized that the Malach of Emes was a bad Malach. He didn't want Adam to be created. Pshat is, he didn't understand what an Adam was. So he thought, I can't have an Adam. So Hashem figured the only way to make him understand is to create him. And sure enough, once he created him, it says that in Gan Eden, the Malachim were serving Adam. So I saw the same thing. If people are bad people, you don't want a yeshiva. Pshat, you don't know what a yeshiva is. So I created it. Now I'm sure you'll serve it. Okay. Anyway, so the Maisa, that was a detour. So the Maisa, they had no money, but they wanted to start yeshivas. I don't know, I guess you couldn't always do this trick. So they decided a simple etza. They bought a lottery ticket. There was once a year lottery in Europe for like, I don't know, $100 million. A big lottery. And they had, the whole yeshiva had bitachin that they're going to win. And then they'll be able to have a bunch of siren. And to show that they were real, they went ahead and they spent, obviously they're going to have the money yet, on paper, all the money before they won the lottery. So they figured out, we're going to win $100 million. How are we going to spend $100 million? We're going to open up the yeshiva here. What's the budget? And it's serious. You know, the building costs this, this costs this, this costs that, okay? And they figured out that with the money, they figured out how many yeshivas they could start exactly to the penny. Came the day of the lottery. No yeshiva. Everyone sat all day saying Tehillim, working on their bitachin. The whole yeshiva had bitachin, they're going to win. And sure enough, as we all can guess, they lost, right? They did not win the lottery. So it was a plea. Bitachin says, if you have total bitachin, the whole yeshiva had total bitachin, and they didn't win. So Rav Brook said, but every single thing on that paper got done. So they really won the lottery. Just Hashem gave it to them a different way. Because really, I'll be derech hateva. It took $100 million, $50 million, whatever it is, to get everything done. Hashem didn't want to make a nez nigla to give them $100 million. So he made a nez nigster that you could do everything without the $100 million. It's the same thing. The mamish got to the same point. What's the difference if you won the lottery and you spent it, or you got everything for free and you didn't have to spend it? Anyway, that's basically. So we Hashem can give us what we ask for in different ways. That's the big issue. Sometimes we get upset. Hashem didn't, I dive in, and Hashem didn't give me what I asked for. Hashem maybe did give. First of all, it's not like, not the answer that Hashem listened and he said no. That's the Goyshe answer. You know, that they said, why? Hashem listened and he told me no. No, we don't say that. We say, the Stiper said, and Hashem always says yes. He might not give you everything you ask for, he might even give you half. And sometimes he even gives you everything you ask for, but he gives it to you in a different way so it won't be so nicker, because Hashem doesn't like doing nisim gluyim, right? That's one of the rules of Hashkacha, that we don't want, Hashem doesn't want to have nisim gluyim, that would take away from Bechira Chavshis. So he sometimes gives us the equivalency of what we ask for, just in a way that it won't be smack of a nice nigla. But you get it anyway. So in Maisa, it pays the daven. So it pays the daven, because maybe you'll get... Also, it's a mitzvah. And what we just went through the cheshbon, if you're davening for the rabbim, it could be a mitzvah, like thousands and thousands of mitzvahs, because it's a mitzvah of chesed. Okay. Anyway, so mitzvah deraisa of daven, according to many, many people. What's the pasuk? What? Okay, v'avda b'chol levavchem, they usually say, I think. But it's the same, similar. Anyway, according to Machlokes, Rambam and Ramban, but they say that even the Rambam holds the mitzvah deraisa, the Ramban says tefidah derabanan, but even the Ramban, they say, hold that certain times it's deraisa, it's a mitzvah kiyumis, not kiyuvis, I don't know. Anyway, the ma'isa, according to most people, it is the mitzvah's essay kiyumis. It might not be a mitzvah as I say chiyuvis deraisa. That's a shayla. But many people say everyone agrees it is. Okay. Anyway, the ma'isa. So now we come to the million-dollar shayla. How do we daven with kavana? Right. So, What's the answer? You got to know what you're saying. Because if you don't know what you're saying, you can't have a kavana. So I brought a demonstration. Okay, that's it. This is if I don't have enough sidurim to make this beautiful demonstration. There's a few things in davening where tefillah, where kavana is ma'akev. So we especially should invest energy to have kavana for those few places. Where is tefillah ma'akev, kavana ma'akev? First pasuk in Kriyat Shema, the first, about three pasukim, but mainly the first pasukim. First parak, the beginning of Avos in Shemona Esrei. According to some people, Birchas HaTorah is deraisa. What? Some people say Modim, right? So those are, but the most important probably is Kriyat Shema. That's deraisa for sure, according to everyone. Then probably Avos in Shemona Esrei, the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. And then you have Birchas HaTorah and Modim. Now, you have both that. So the first bracha, the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, you have to have kavan. Okay. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. Hashem Elokeinu, the Lord is our God. Okay. Come on, please tell me, what is the difference between the Lord and God? The Lord is our God. Now, I had a different sitter, and I just didn't find it because I couldn't find too many English to do it, and it translated, God is our Lord. Right? So, now, the arts grow is a little smarter. They do a little better job, though, even though I still don't know what it means, but they got it actually right. They just, I don't know if anyone can figure out what they're saying. They say it means Hashem is our God. Now I got it. Right. He has here, the Lord is our God. He says Hashem is our God. Okay, anyway, so what in the world? So if we don't know what it means, how in the world are you supposed to have kavana? Right. So that's why you have to learn Parashat Vayikra. I just quickly want to tell you what it means. But what a great story. I told the guys, no, the guys heard all my stories, right? What can I do? I was at a rally for some, there used to be rallies, I don't know what it was for, Russian Jewry, I don't know what. And at these rallies, they used to always try to have Goyim speak because they wanted to make it look like at the TV cameras, they didn't want, you know, who cares if the Jews were rallying? No one listens to Jews. So they had a nun speak at the rally. Okay, so it's a bigger struggle, we skipped the event part. So the nun spoke, and she spoke at this rally. It was all Jews there. No one else showed up for the rally. So at the end of the rally, she screams out, Shema Yisrael, in Hebrew, Hashem Echad. And everybody goes crazy because, you know, here's this priest, and nun, and she knows Hebrew, Shema Yisrael, right? Well, but she left out Hashem Elokeinu. Now that's what it means. Because the Christians believe Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. And we believe Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? That's the difference. Right? Hashem Elokeinu means Hashem. That means the real God. Is Elokeinu. Nu means our God. Means that there's a personal connection that we have with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu. This personal. You knock on your daddy's door, you know? Your daddy's a king. You know, oh, no one can come in now. The king is, you know, you need bread. It's my daddy, you know. That's what it means when we say it, okay. That's, before I don't say it, that's what we, how can we have a right to daven to Hashem directly? I don't know if a guy can daven to Hashem directly. You know, we can hear your chutzpah. You think Hashem's going to listen to you directly? Maybe a malach, I don't know. You know, knock, knock, Hashem, I want to play this basketball game. Help me. You know, excuse me. You know, it's chutzpah. But that's why we say Hashem Elokeinu. Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu. We have protexia. I don't know if you know what protexia means. Hashem. We have inside. We have a connection. So Hashem Elokeinu means Hashem is the Shem HaMefarish. Right? It doesn't mean the Lord. It means the Shem HaMefarish. That's the real God. That's really what Hashem is. That's Hashem's real name. So we don't say it out. But the Shem HaMefarish, that ultimate God, that whatever what Hashem is, that is Elokeinu. We are connected. He's us. Not like that priest, that nun. It wasn't a priest, it was a nun. She's wrong. Sorry, lady. You can't say, you know, you can say Hashem Echad, but you're not, but you have nothing to do with it. You know, you're like, just like, you know, you have no special relationship with that God. Just like the monkey has no special relationship. You know, the Hashem created you, okay? Created you. But we're Avinu Malkeinu. Right? Avinu Malkeinu doesn't mean we just he created us. It means that we have a special relationship. We have a relationship with Avinu. We have a relationship with Malkeinu. Okay, anyway. But if you don't know what it means, you can't have kavanah. I don't know how many people in the world know what Baruch Shem Kevod Malchus Odi Olam Va'ed means. Right? I don't know. Don't everyone raise their hand. Right? How many people know when they say Shemona Esrei, we say that the first bracha Shemona Esrei, you have to have kavanas, ma'akev. Now, it's not so easy to have kavanah for the first bracha. But it's especially difficult if you don't know what you're saying. Right? So now, wait, I have to get, I'm going great. Here. We say in the first bracha, Melech Ozer Umoshia Umogen. What in the world does that mean? Ozer Moshia Umogen. He helps and he helps and he helps. Okay. Wait, what did he say here? The translation? O King, Helper, Saver, and Shield. Okay. I don't think I can have too much kavana with that. Helper, Saver, Helper, and a Saver. Ozer, Helper, Savior, and Shield. I mean, that's that is the translation. But what is that supposed to mean? Hakil, Hagado, Hagibor, Vanoira. Hakil, Hagado. What does that mean? He's big. Oh. God is big. He's really big. Right? There's so many things that we don't know what we're saying. So the first suggestion, if you want to have kavanah for shmona for things, is you have to learn parish atfilas. Then there's a second suggestion, which is brought down in the Siddur Agra, is you have to learn more than one parish atfila, because the parish atfila helps for a little while, but then everything gets boring. So you have to learn a new parish atfila. That's what gets hard. In other words, it's easier, believe it or not, to daven kavana when you're 18, 19, 20 than when you're 50, 60. Because when you're 18, 19, 20, you learn one pshat in parish atfila. Wow, that's amazing. That's a gevaldik parish and parish atfila, and you can go with it. But after 5 years, it's like boring already. You know, you've done that for every day, for 3 days, three times a day. So now you need a new parish. There are a lot of different perushim. So that's already hard. And then you get and you need another parish. There are some parishes that are very dry and don't inspire. You have to search out a parish that speaks to you and motivates you. Not every parish speaks your language. Anyway, so that's what we got to do. We got to have know what the davening means. And we have to not only find a parish what they mean, but we have to find the parish which is inspirational.